I'm curious about your thoughts about Aman Buzdar's work looking at neoadjuvant therapy in HER2 positive patients. And the NSABP is about to launch a randomized study evaluating that regimen. It's kind of controversial, small number of patients using it along with an anthracycline. What's your take on that?
Well, I think the data as presented are very exciting data. I have the same caveats that probably everybody else has to it. It's based on enormously small numbers. They talk about the fact that they weren't seeing any cardiotoxicity, which again is one of the big concerns when you use trastuzumab with an anthracycline. It's one of the big things we talked about throughout the day today. They had 27 patients that they finally treated, I believe, before they stopped the trial. So they had 27 patients at risk. If you said that half of the patients are going to develop cardiac dysfunction, that means you're down to 13 patients potentially reported in that group if you really believe the numbers are going to hold true. And then remember, they only reported on clinical cardiac dysfunction. So half of that half is what really is at risk. Now you're down to about six or seven patients. The confidence intervals have to be completely overlapping to say that you don't see cardiac toxicity, which is the claim they made. You don't see significant cardiotoxicity. I think a bigger trial needs to get done, and I think it's getting done, and that'll answer that question.
Do you think that the neoadjuvant setting is a good setting to study combinations of HER2-positive
I
disease?
think the neoadjuvant setting is a good setting to study any of a number of drugs and combinations. There are a lot of things that we can get in that setting that we can't get in a later setting, so it makes great sense to push studies in that setting to learn better how we might decide to launch some of the bigger trials, get launched before they get launched. There's a lot to be learned in the neoadjuvant setting.
What do you think about Jenny Chang's work looking at neoadjuvant trastuzumab alone without chemotherapy?
I think it's very exciting, and I think it's the approach to take. It's an approach that she's really out there and pushing hard. It's something we're looking at as well, in addition to some of the combinations that we've talked about in the neoadjuvant setting. I mean, I just think there's a lot that can be gained by having the biologic material and then analyzing it critically in terms of genomic and ultimately proteomic analyses.
She came up with the conclusion that trastuzumab stimulates apoptosis, which was kind of a new thought. At least a lot of people thought that was the case. What were your thoughts about that?
Well, most of the data that I know up to this point is that it certainly induces a G1S arrest in terms of its initial effects. But longer-term exposure seems to indicate that some of those tumor cells will undergo programmed cell death. So I don't think it's a total surprise. The relative strength of an apoptotic mechanism versus a G1S arrest mechanism, I think, is still open for debate. But I think her data are very interesting.
The NSABP neoadjuvant study 40, which is for HER2 negative tumors, is going to look at the sensitivity assays that are out there where the tumor cells are cultured and chemotherapeutic agents are put in there that we've been hearing about forever. They're going to look at it practically. Does that kind of approach make sense for trastuzumab?
Potentially, yes. I'm not a big fan of those approaches in general because I think they've misled us in the past. But if you can really refine the way you look at it and have an ex vivo test that reliably predicts what you're going to see when you get into the clinical setting, then I think it's something that should be looked at. I don't know that we're there yet based on the tests that we have.
What's in your personal future in terms of the next 5 or 10 years? What do you hope to accomplish? What do you hope to focus on?
Boy, there are so many more questions based on the exciting data we have now. Everyone's gratified about the data we have, but by no means should we be sitting back on our laurels. There are women who have the HER2 alteration who don't respond to Herceptin. Why? There are women who have the HER2 alteration who respond and then progress through. Why? And then there are women who don't have the alteration who have extremely aggressive disease. What's driving them? That's where I'd like to spend in those few arenas the next 5 to 10 years of what I'm doing to really try and understand that better.